twice. The first, my first experience was military jail. And it wasn't very fun because it was all African American heroin addicts I was in jail with. And they were recently back from Vietnam. Black heroin addicts recently back from Vietnam. They were bitter. And I think they had a right to be bitter, I suppose. But they had a dislike of white people. This is back in the 70s. And we were still, the country was still, you know, experiencing the racial tension, burning of cities, the Martin Luther King assassination, and these people were, you know, this is not a very, very pleasant experience. That was only for 60 days, though. That was only for 2 months. And then the second time I was in jail, it was only for like 2 weeks. The second time I was in jail was not, you know, but even it was all African Americans then too. You know, there were 15 people in the jail I was in, and there were like 2 or 3 white people. But there for 1 week, I was the only white person in there. And most of these people were crack cocaine type people, you know. Crack cocaine. Most people that are in jail are drug offenders, you know. Here are this mostly African American drug offenders. So I, you know, but having said that, you'd think the second time I was in jail was not bad at all. The food was horrible. It was the thing that bothered me the most was the noise. It was very noisy. Other than that, there was no fights or any homosexual behavior. You know, just, there was a few fights. I remember one fight. On Saturday night, if you had a good report, the cell block had a good report. This is a little county jail, right? If they had a good report when the jailer came by and everybody's bunk was made up and everything, you know, things were put away, they would bring a pizza into the cell block. And the cell, you would share a slice, everybody would get a slice of pizza. You know, this one incident, this fella dropped his, he grabbed it, he knocked a piece of pizza out of another person's hand or something. Anyway, this piece of pizza landed on the floor, okay? And this guy was an ex-football player. He's probably in his early 20s. Must have been a linebacker or something, I don't know. And he got into a football stance, sort of. And he took this guy and he knocked him, not down, but he knocked him back up against the door. And it was kind of bad. It was like, damn. You know, this guy's like probably 6'4", 250 pounds or so. And you could tell that it was all football. I mean, it was like, boom, you know. I mean, he knocked this guy. And the other guy wasn't a real small, just average build. That's the only fight. It wasn't a fight. So you hear a lot of stuff about jails or Hollywood stuff. I mean, but I don't know. That's the only two experiences I've ever had in jail. So who would I want to spend my time in jail with here on this zoo? I don't know, Jim. Jail. Now that, I've spent a day or two days in some really bad jails. One in Long Bend Jail, in a Connex, for 2 days. Now that was pretty miserable, actually. And then when I initially went to jail here, it was like they put me in before they transferred me down to the county jail, it was like a cubicle, man. It was really like you were, it was kind of, it was pretty bad, actually. But it's just for a day or two. A lot of people can't handle jail. I have seen people go crazy in jail, actually. I've seen it, people crying, grown men crying and stuff like that, you know. It's not a, you see some things in jail that, you know, not the Hollywood or movie stuff. You see people, there's a lot of depression, I suppose. And, I don't know how to describe it. But I've never been to prison, and I don't know anything about that. But that is a rather interesting question. Who would you want to spend, you know, bunk with you in jail? I don't know. Maybe something along, I would like to say a person that had a liberal outlook on life, perhaps. A very, you know, open-minded person, that could, educated person, who had a somewhat, a, you know, a interesting life, that you could, you know, the big thing in jail is talking to people, telling, you know, stories and playing cards and stuff like that, you know, because you're, well, I couldn't really say. I think maybe you or Douglas would probably go crazy in jail. Might go over there. As far as Fred, I'd say Thorazine would be the cure for him. They still use Thorazine too. I asked the doctor here a couple of months ago about Thorazine, and he said, yes, they still use it. They still use Thorazine. There's other drugs they normally use, but it's still being used. Thorazine, it'll make you shut up, you know. I knew this preacher when I lived in San Francisco. This black street preacher. I used to see him at down on the, when I go get my bagel in the mornings and coffee. And he'd be on the street corner down there preaching. I started talking to him one day, and he'd been to prison for a long time. And he said, that's when I first heard about Thorazine. Because they didn't like him preaching in prison. He caused a lot of problems for the fellow inmates. So they shot him up or forced him to take Thorazine. And he didn't have the desire to be very vocal anymore. So yeah, that would probably be a pretty good solution, I suppose, for that one individual you mentioned, Thorazine. So, a lot of interference on here. Jim, you're pretty much covered over it, though. I'm not going to hold it, this frequency. I've been hanging out on 10 meters a lot, and I got a few people I talk to on 40. I kind of come by here and call for you or Carl or Douglas. That's about the only three I talk to on here anymore. And just so much meanness on here, man. mean people. And people that spend their days insulting other people and QRMing and playing altered reproductions of things. Well, that's the biggest thing, I suppose, is taking their digital recorders and dicing and taking words and rearranging them. That's the big pastime on this frequency, I suppose. And insulting people and attacking people. It's crazy, isn't it? What is Laura, you ask, what's Laura gonna do? I don't think she's gonna do anything. She has it. Riley made it worse. He made it awful. He turned it over to Laura, I suppose. I don't know. You know, I remember when George, N9BTB, said something to me many years ago. He said bad enforcement is worse than no enforcement. And I've thought about that. And you can think things through. But sometimes realizations come through actual experiences and the actual what happened, what occurred, the occurrence. And when George said that, I said, boy, that's something, you know. It's a statement that you can kind of dissect and beat around and go around and chase the, you know, whatever. But then you come to the very simple fact, what occurred, what happened. And his statement is true. Bad enforcement is worse than no enforcement. And I think that's Riley's legacy, actually. K4ZDH, Riley's Hollingsworth. And you just have to witness what's happening here. What is happening here. And you can say, well, you know, why are you here? Why are you here? Well, I'm talking to my friend, KD0LA. That's why I'm here. You know, I don't know what the answer is. I suppose big sticks and a big stick, you know. That may be the answer. Apparently, there's just no, I don't know. I just can't for the life of me figure out why. You know, why people behave the way they do. I guess that's the eternal question. Why do people behave the way they do? I have no clue, Jim. No earthly idea why. I suppose it's an exercise in futility to try to figure it out. I guess mankind's been trying to figure that out for a long time. But here she comes back to you. Not much more here. I'm going to listen for your final. And shut it off, and I got a lot to do today. I've got laundry, book work. I'm fixing to cut a few customers loose. I just, I'm gonna write some letters. I'm not cutting them loose though. I'm gonna give them a notice, and I'm gonna give them a name of somebody that will do their, you know, lawns if they would like this person. I'm gonna give them a referral. A person to take, you know, replace me, and I'm going to give them a bullet, or, you know, one time before I then give them a notice. And that's the way, you know, you want to leave people, even customers that you are not happy with. You just, certain laws are difficult, Jim. They just, you know, you gotta keep, in this business, you gotta keep looking for that. You know, the lawns that are once a week with, no obstacles, not a lot of trees, not a lot of line trimming and crazy Bahia grass or Johnson grass. You know, people that want attractive lawns without a lot of time and effort to keep it that way, which you're always searching for. And I've taken on about, I've gotten some new customers here this summer, about a half a dozen new ones, and I'm going to replace this half a dozen good customers. I mean, I'm going to use them and get rid of the ones that I've never been really happy with, you know. It's just business. That's what I always stress to these people. It's just business. This has nothing to do, I don't work with anybody that I don't like or, you know, has problems paying me. I don't even consider working for any of those people. But I do have this, it's just business, you know. I mean, I normally charge like $35 to $40 to mow a lawn, right? And if I gotta spend, it's all about production. And wear and tear on my equipment, and wear and tear on me, you know. So I've got to look. I do between 6 and 8 or 9 lawns a day through the summer. I know a Mexican man that does 14 lawns a day. Oh, man, he's incredible. I watch him, man. He's got these two big Dixie choppers, but he doesn't do real polished work. I do real polished, you know, my work. I'm always in demand. People are coming up to me in some of these neighborhoods. They want me, you know, because they look at the work I do. They said, damn, I wish we could get that guy, you know? And I get a lot of referrals and a lot, I turn a lot of business down. But anyway, I want to shoot it back up to you, Jim. Slap these guys around a little bit. I heard Tom in there. He seems to be in an ugly mood this morning. K9RY, he seems to be in a very ugly mood. Wonder what's wrong with him. Is it his health problems, or wonder what's wrong with him? He's all attacking people like that. I wonder how that makes you feel if you sit there and attack people, attack me or anyone for that matter. Just, it's horrible. It's just horrible, Jim. But anyway, we'll see you later. I'm gonna go do put some laundry in the washer. You didn't, yeah, Jane Fonda. Oh, she's always been one of my heroes. I really like Jane, actually. I know that she, her little thing in Vietnam. Actually, though, when you think about it, I think history will bear this out. I know you're a Vietnam veteran. That was very much a criminal war, and you were part of it, Jim. I mean, he was just a kid. I mean, he's just a kid, you know. But I was reading this book here. I have it right here. It's called Reflections on a Ravaged Century by Robert Conquest. He's a very well-known historian. A very well-known, a very famous historian, actually. Historians have him in the highest regard, like McCullough, Fawn Brody, Dumas Malone, those type people have Robert Conquest at the highest list. You know, I mean, he's just a historian's historian. Did I say that right? Well, anyway, in the second chapter, he talks about my country, right or wrong. My country, right or wrong. And I've been thinking about that a lot lately. And when you accept that premise, my country, right or wrong, when you accept that, you have to be fully able to have sympathy for the Nazis. You have to goose-step with the Nazis. If you subscribe to the point of view, my country, right or wrong, you would have to goose-step with the Nazis or Uncle Joe or whoever. You know, or Mussolini or Saddam, whoever. You know, you're goose-stepping with my country, right or wrong. And I think that's what we did, Jim. And the people that are the heroes are the ones that said, hell no, I ain't going. It's a criminal war. People like Jane Fonda. Jane Fonda went to North Vietnam to stop Nixon from bombing the rice dikes. There was people starving in North Vietnam because of the bombing of the dikes. There weren't military, well, I guess they were military targets. You gotta feed armies, right? You gotta feed an army, so sort of like Sherman said, let's kill all the buffalo and the Indians won't have anything to eat. Let's promote a policy to kill all the buffalo, and then the Indians will have to come to us to be fed. So, I guess war is of that nature. You have to figure out, you have to be a pragmatist, you know. If you can't feed an army, how can they fight? So, oh well. But that's why Jane, Hanoi Jane, went to Vietnam in her wonderful autobiography, N4TAT. She's a wonderful woman, actually. I mean, I think she talks about that trip to Hanoi. She was a young girl, and she was a propaganda tool, of course she was. Sitting on the AAA device, that was a mistake. She readily says that. That was a mistake I made when I sat on the anti-aircraft gun. That was an image that they used, and I was being, as a tool. And she said that was a mistake. It wasn't good judgment. But, you know, thousands of Americans went to North Vietnam, actually, or thousands of people did, hundreds of Americans, to protest the war. And she was one of many, but since she was a celebrity, I think she's gotten a lot of slack. But after that, when you look at her record, she gives tens of billions of dollars away a year to feed people for birth control, literacy programs. She's all about giving her time and money. When she was here in Georgia, married to Ted Turner, she did so much for unwed mothers, homeless children, people with AIDS. Just incredible, actually. So she's made the world a much better place. And she was right about the war, too. Ultimately, that will be sure. I think people realize that. I think most Americans understand that Vietnam was a criminal war, an awful criminal war. And the people who say my country right or wrong, well, that's fine. That's fine. You can say that. But when you say that, you have to realize that you're goose-stepping with Adolf Hitler, too, now. That you got to be goose-stepping with Adolf at the same time now. Let's see you later, Jim, M4TAT. Have a nice day.